All right. Welcome, everyone, to Creator's Playbook, the podcast that inspires creativity for storytelling, or just to give you something to listen to as a couple of goofballs pretend that we're good at storytelling. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Robbie.
Wait a second, guys. You're not Robbie. This is my episode. I'm leading. And guys, today we're going to be talking about virtual realities.
Actually, I'm Steven.
And I'm Michael.
And I'm Robbie. And yeah, virtual reality. Such a cool theme, because you get to talk about philosophical stuff and play around with things like, what does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to feel love? Or what does it mean to eat or sleep? Virtual reality, you get to play with all these super cool themes, right? I have been so excited to talk about this just because I am a huge, huge fan of virtual reality stories. So before we dive into it, I thought I should probably ground us here in what we're talking about when I say virtual realities. Well, essentially, they're computer-generated worlds that model after reality. Hence why the virtual computer reality, our world as we see it, as we experience it. And so when you're talking about virtual reality, you get to take other elements of reality, whether it's being alive, doing this or that, and put them in a virtual sense, if you will. So yeah, I don't know, guys. What are some examples of virtual reality stories that you're fans of that you enjoy or that you just like about virtual reality?
I mean, I think the go-to all-around classic has got to be Star Trek's holodeck. I mean, everybody knows the holodeck, and I think the holodeck probably is what really started inspiring this whole concept of virtual reality. And I think what I like about Star Trek's use of their holodeck is that it really goes to show characters being forced into situations that they're not necessarily used to, or characters who literally just need to get away from life. It's for them, it's their reading a book. It's, you know, listening to their favorite movie. It's, no, I'm going to schedule time in the holodeck and literally go somewhere else because I don't want to be here right now.
I mean, that it is definitely their escape. And I appreciate that, like, they use the holodeck as also a storytelling point where the holodeck can come alive. I mean, there was a really great episode where they created Dr. Moriarty from Sherlock Holmes. And Dr. Moriarty started taking over the ship. And so is the virtual reality attacking the characters. And they were like, wait a minute. This is not cool. Mm-hmm. And so their solution to the problem was to store Moriarty in another simulation and send him off as if he's duped in reality. Yeah. Yeah.
You have no idea how much I want that story arc to actually come back to Star Trek.
Oh, right. No. Right. Come on, Star Trek Discovery. Let's
like,
go.
Like somebody
Let's
discovers go. Moriarty's like log or the capsule.
Right. Nothing would make me happier. One of my favorite characters in Star Trek is he is not named, but the Doctor. And the whole theme around his character is dealing with elements of, like, you know, what does it mean to be human? And, you know, an element of life is we as creatures, especially as sentient beings, have rights. We're inherently born with rights of how we live, how we express ourselves, what we choose to do. And those are all tackled with him as a virtually simulated being. And it's always fascinating because you get to see this one-to-one relationship in storytelling. Obviously, we as writers, especially in science fiction, we're always dealing with themes of philosophy, these questions of, you know, what does it mean to live? What is life? But in virtual reality, you get to handle it from the perspective of something, or with the framework of something in this world. This story we're talking about has created a world within the world. Those people are the deities, the creators of this virtual world. And with that perspective in mind, you get to do these, you get to answer these cool questions from this perspective.
I think a great point of that one, or a great example of that one, is Inception, where who is having the dream in Inception is the one that gets to fabricate the world. I think it's interesting because you can have multiple layers that they presented, and going literally multiple layers deep, you know, that I actually kind of forget, like, can a different person be dreaming with each layer as they set up each layer as they went down? I mean, what was the rules based on that? I can't remember as well.
Yeah. Every party had to go into a new dream to enter the next layer.
And whenever you went down a layer, it was someone else's dream you were going into.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That actually leads, Inception leads into my other point I wanted to introduce. So with virtual reality and the why of virtual reality, like why would you want to tell a virtual reality element? Or when you introduce it, what's a why that you can implement that helps aid or move along the story that you're creating for, I don't know, your video game or your book or movie, mm-hmm. is what are things of reality and how you would define reality in life? And how would those translate into a virtual sense where now they're a lot more tangible? Because like I said before, you've created a virtual world inside the world of your story, and now you have complete control over every single element. Mm-hmm. So eating, boom, I could get rid of that. Sleeping doesn't exist. How does that affect the story? But the reverse is true as well. Because this is a virtual reality, you're now looking at the technology of your world, and how does that affect the reality, this virtual reality? Mm-hmm. And this is,
yeah,
it seems like this should be easy to define, but for some reason I always struggle. I pick like the dumbest thing. But in Inception, I'm glad you brought this up, because in Inception, which is a virtual reality and the technology is based on, you know, connecting to people's dreams and creating simulated environments based on those dreams, the deeper they go, the more wacky things become.
The more surreal.
Yeah, which is what you see in sleep. The deeper sleep you go into, the wackier things become. The more control you get, the slower time moves. Where I could fall asleep for 20 minutes, but I can experience something that feels like 3 hours. They took that principle of this reality, the
time
technology,
compression. Yeah,
time compression, and that was put into that. And that could actually work in a computer sense too. And you see that.
Actually, that time compression as an element really leaned into as a main theme of the story, because it created like that culmination at the end of, can they complete everything in their compressed time? It was really, really well done.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, you know, exactly what you're talking about, we get into other stories like Sword Art Online, where the rules that they are forced to play literally define their world. You know, the fact that any of the players can just pull out the world menu and apparate you know, make their weapons appear, or they can store things into this little data con that just shows up out of nowhere, or send people messages. You know, being able to define those rules and then forcing your characters constrained by those rules really creates some fun situations.
And it plays into the character development. The main character of that story, Kirito, he is a kind of a loner in real life and does nothing but play video games. And so the model of, like, you know, the simulated computer element being pushed into a reality is the fact that now everyone can level up. Everyone has the ability, because it plays like a video game. They took the elements of a video game and they put it into the real world, rather the simulated world. And he as a loner found advantage here, because he was able to solo and he just did a lot of stuff. He knew how to play the system and he became a high level character, which played into the fact that he was a loner. He found it difficult to connect with people still, even though this was his environment, because he was so high level that people that wanted to join with him that were lower levels couldn't, because they would all die. He always put people into dangerous situations without meaning to. So again,
because they're not dangerous to him.
Exactly. You see how this computer element played into his character development. It's super cool.
Which, you know, just a final thought on something like Sword Art Online, the whole why of the entire show is, what do you do, or what happens when a character who's really good at a game ends up caring about somebody and then losing them because of his own recklessness, or, you know, these own situations? Like, that was the why that they focused on, is that whole situation.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's so true. That's so true. It was such a powerful thing. And it's why it was such a pull for so many people, because loss is something we all can relate to some degree, even if it's just losing a relationship with a friend because they move on. I love that.
So I think really quickly, like, one of the things that I love the most about virtual realities is the concept that there is possibly a maker over that virtual realities. Holodeck, you know, they're the programmers, the people that make them. And what's fun about the holodeck is that you have the actual box and the people that made the box, but then you have the scenario writers who make the simulations. And so there tends to be a maker over the virtual reality or somebody who has a level higher control over the virtual reality. But it doesn't necessarily always right. play out that way.
Well, I think that's where the example of Tron comes in. And Tron's one of the, I think, first video, the movies that portrayed this virtual computer environment that you can get sucked into. And that they, you know, they viewed Flynn as the creator of this, their world.
And he virtually became a god.
Yeah, and they treated him like a god.
Exactly. And then when you had Tron Legacy and his son, Sam, enters into the world, like there's this interesting dichotomy of his son, you know, which has very Judeo-Christian kind of references there versus his father, Flynn, in that whole regime.
The two movies have a ton of parallels, but what's kind of interesting, and the thing that I appreciated about Tron Legacy, is that Sam, even though he's a super techie guy, had no idea where he was. He was forced into that virtual reality and had to learn the rules because he didn't know the rules or the fact that there even was rules.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very much a mirror of the first movie where his father enters into the world the first time. And he's like, what the crap is going on? Am I going to die? If I die, do I die in real life? This is bad, guys.
That's great.
Right? Because he doesn't know the rules. He doesn't know what he can and can't do. And then you see when Sam meets up with his dad later on, like his dad knows the rules and can influence the world to his will.
Like Kirito, his father had risen to high levels.
This is so epic. I'm really into this, guys. Well,
okay. So what do you got for us, Robbie?
All right. So thank you, Stephen. I have a couple of questions that we absolutely have to answer this episode, plus some bonus ones if there's time. And then I also have a prompt for you guys.
Ooh. So,
yeah, well, I know. Exciting, right?
So
really quick, here are the questions. And it's based on everything we just talked about. The questions are, what is an element of the real world that we can insert and play with in the virtual world? So this could be anything from like emotions, feelings. What does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to have rights as a sentient creature? Things like that. Mm-hmm. The second question is, what are elements of technology that we can then insert into the virtual world and treat it like an element of the real world? So this could be things we were just talking about, like, you know, like all computers have a recycle bin. Well, what if the virtual world where they're interacting, where it feels like the real world has a recycle bin, and it could be an adventure of like, we're off to go find the glorious recycle bin to resurrect our ancestors who can help us solve this grand issue, right? Or it could be something as simple as like bandwidth, like people are walking down the street or across the bridge, and then suddenly they're walking across the edge of the bridge and they fall into the river kind of thing because it lagged and things got misplaced on the server. So things like that.
Clipping through walls by accident.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And then a possible third question is also like, what is the access point between the real world and the virtual world? How do you transition between the two?
Oh, okay.
They're putting on a head of goggles and should they get sucked in, or is it like a wire to the back of the cranium, or do they get digitized like in Tron? Right. So any one of those.
Or anyway. Do they actually step into a simulated world, like in Star Trek with the holodeck?
Oh, yeah. Good point. Okay. Are you guys ready for this prompt?
Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah.
Bringing it.
The black dragon's obsidian form crackled, red light spilling out before it exploded into a cloud of black smoke. The warriors below, clad in silver and gold that seemed to capture the light more than reflect it, threw their swords into the air and chanted victory. Then, everything froze. The victory tune played its little ditty as the word pause flashed up in the middle of the TV screen. They had done it. After a month of grinding and leveling, they had finally defeated the raid boss. Jace popped up from his couch, adrenaline still rushing in his veins. Not from the boss, but from what he was just about to do for a very different challenge. His own personal raid boss, Yenna. She sat beside him, just 3 feet away, popping in a handful of chips into her mouth. Honestly, kind of anticlimactic, she said, spittles of chip flying from her mouth as she spoke. I hope the loot is good this time around. Jace took a deep breath. He had been preparing for this too, practicing the words out loud, researching all the right things to say and how to say them. He even paid for a session with a psych, asking for some predictions. Maybe not the best use of his money, but he just needed all the help he could get. "Jace," Yenny said slowly. "You okay?" Jace twisted around. "I want to try it," he said. She scrutinized him. "Try what?" "Being a couple." The tone of excitement and joy on her face faded, completely disappearing. "You promised," she said as she leaped to her feet and started towards the door. "You promised you wouldn't do this again." "Yenna, wait," he said, his heart thudding in a sickly way. She wouldn't even give him a chance to finish. I think we should try this time." She turned on him so quickly, he nearly fell over. "You don't think I haven't tried, Jace? You don't think I want to? I can't fake emotions that I don't have. You know how painful it is to pretend. Not all of us figured it out the first time. Don't call me to come over ever again." And like someone had turned out the lights, she was gone. Nothing but a loud slam of the door signaling her departure. He wanted to feel disappointed. He would have, if he could have. It was a feature he couldn't afford, and in truthfulness, it was kind of low in the priority of his purchase list. Maybe when he made it big, he would go all out and buy all kinds of emotions, the full set. But not today. Today marked the fruits of all of his grinding in life. If she hadn't left so quickly, he could have told her that he had saved up just enough to buy her the emotion of love. Grabbing his coat, he rushed out the door, careful not to slam it as he chased after her. There you go, guys. There's the prompt.
Wow.
Hopefully it's not too weird.
No, this is great. This is great. I think there's a lot of things in here that kind of really pop out at me. And it leaves me to wonder, like, what's going on in real life? Because obviously this all takes place in virtual reality.
And that's definitely the tone I was going for here. They are in a virtual world. One of the first questions that we have to tackle is something that we kind of already touched a little bit on in the prompt, but I'd like to either expound it or introduce other elements. First question is, what are elements of life that we can take and put into the virtual world that we can either remove or make difficult to achieve or make a theme that we want to tackle as we're going forward? So, like, one thing that this prompt kind of tackles is the question of emotions and what they are, and what does it do if you have to purchase your emotions and they're not exactly readily available to you at the get-go? Or I'm more inclined to, like, let's choose something else that we could take from real life and put it to this virtual world and put a twist on it in some way.
I'm thinking here, like, we're in some sort of simulated realm here. And we could go as extreme as, like, Brandon Sanderson's Perfect State, where they're just brains in a vat and everything they're experiencing is virtual reality. So, like, and they have to save up and purchase the different levels of simulation that they get access to as they complete things. Or this is very much simply a virtual reality, you know, like they're wearing goggles in a bodysuit and or whatnot. And so they're getting to experience, like, I feel like answering that question on, like, how far deep into this virtual reality might make a lot more sense in terms of why purchasing things like emotions is important.
And I was going to say that concept of purchasing emotions in this virtual reality definitely removes a layer of humanism. That I feel like emotions are naturally part of the human experience. Why would the virtual reality strip that away? Because I think that even, you know, wearing a headset or being inside a quote unquote holodeck, my human emotions are still part of my personality. Like, right. Emotions and personality are intrinsic. So are they actually human, or are they beings trying to figure out what it's like to be human?
Oh, wow,
and
that's a twist.
Emotions are like a nice paid DLC.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
What if, painting a picture for you here of maybe how someone enters this world, and we'll use Jace. Let's say, for example, it was a dark and stormy night. No, I'm not going to do that. With a snap and a hiss, the pod opens and Jace sits up, clad in sporty shorts and a tank top. He looks around a little bit confused A woman steps up to him and says, "Well, hey, welcome to the port. We're glad that you've decided to join us in this entertainment experience. Your name is Jace, and all memories of your prior experience have been temporarily concealed. So don't worry, no memories of the previous life. We want to make sure that this experience for you is completely immersive with no interruptions. None of that depression, anxiety. We put all that aside. In fact, we put everything aside. No love or happiness either. All these things have to be earned. And it looks like you have about, oh, let's see, 300 credits in your account. You might be able to buy one or two emotions. Here's your list. And I'm afraid that's all you're going to be able to afford." And essentially, they come into the game, whatever this is, with a limited amount of credits to just get things going. And yeah, when they start out, they don't feel anything. What a weird thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is quite interesting. Like, knowing that you're entering the game having to re-earn those, would negative emotions be punishment? Like, I don't know why you'd buy certain negative emotions.
Interesting.
They've got to be able to give you some sort of advantage. Like, maybe anger helps you get through the boss scenes better, so, and it's cheaper. So you end up purchasing like a quick flare temper as a character defect.
Are they buffs? Like, do they time out?
Yeah. Well, maybe.
What if it's an exchange? What if it's like, if you take an anger emotion, like a prone to anger or an addiction, we'll give you an extra 500 credits.
There you go. I mean, because that makes it feel very much like Dungeons and Dragons, where taking like a disadvantage on some character flaws might actually allow you to get the benefits, like the better mm-hmm. the better things.
And can you deal and work through that? My big question is why? Like, how does this contribute to the overall theme of the simulation? And I think part of that is understanding why somebody would enter this kind of game or world in the first place. To deal with this, like, is there a benefit to being here in the virtual reality? Because it seems like they opt to come here.
Mm-hmm. It very much reminds me of Inception, where they had hotels full of people who are just in the dream state 24/7. You know, they take drugs to stay in it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just to be an escape from real life. Like, real life is just that bad. Maybe this is like an apocalyptic dystopian future. And real life sucks a lot more than having all of your, like, you want all of your emotions to be stripped mm-hmm. so that you can feel more normal. Like, maybe like what life was before all of this craziness happened.
I like this theme of escape. And you definitely see, because the principle of all kinds of entertainment is escape and immersion. We want to feel something from a movie or reading a book that otherwise isn't available to us at that moment in real life, because I'm on my lunch break and I want to feel like a superhero cruising through space, blowing up spaceships of the alien bad guys, right?
So you get out your side-scroller shooter game on your phone and you play for 5 minutes.
And I'm playing Flappy Birds, hitting that jump button. What if the darker twist here is people who are older and on their deathbeds, or people with disabilities, and they're filled with regrets, and they can take whatever money they want to experience a lifetime within the period of a minute. However, that experience fries the brain. It's like, yeah, you'll get to experience life again, but understand that this is going to cost you money and it will kill you, but you get to have a do-over. So going back to the why, Stephen, like, what are your thoughts? What do you think the why should be? What's the why?
A thought that I had earlier is, what if something that wasn't human, and I kind of like mentioned this before, but like, what if something that wasn't human was trying to learn how to be human? And the best way that they came up with this idea was a human life simulator. But of course, you know, it has all the paid DLC, which those elements are put in there so that they can learn that here on Earth, you pay for everything. So it's like a training wheels. But also maybe this whole system was integrated because human emotions are really intense. And so if they space it out as rewards or something that you purchase, you can deal with them one at a time so that this not human thing can adapt to them. So maybe these are AI personalities that are being developed and being integrated into the human world. So they do like nonsensical human things like play video games and, like, you know, learn what it's like to work a 9-to-5 or something like that. And so they're doing all these mundane things so that they can integrate into human society undetected. And maybe human emotions are just a little bit too intense to throw at an AI system, so they have to get them one at a time.
Well, yeah. Well, I like to extend that maybe just a little bit. Like, maybe the alien emotions are just that alien. They don't feel the same things we do, and that's why they suppress them. So, I mean, like, these are real aliens, and they enter this, they enter the VR world so without emotion, so that they can learn how to grow with human emotions to integrate better, like you were saying. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, if you want to go really dark, this is super dark. But what if it's like a conditioning camp? Humans have taken aliens, and they're conditioning aliens to integrate them into human society.
Welcome to Earth.
Or you go
so dark.
You go even darker. And this is a human camp where disobedient humans get retrained in proper emotions.
Whoa.
Reconditioning.
Reconditioning, yeah.
What?
Oh. And so this is actually a story of how our characters break out of that reconditioning as they realize they get some of their previous histories back. And they're like, wait a minute, this is not right. And then they have to fight against the system to get out.
So the whole purpose, the big why, is maybe trying to get humans to feel, or rather to give up on emotions completely, that emotions aren't really worth it. Oh. And so when they eventually are taken out of the system, they don't want any of the emotions. And if it's a part of an alien society that highly values the rights of a person, it's like, well, we can't willingly take it away from them. And they twist the rules a little bit.
Oh, to get them to do it for themselves.
Willingly. Yeah. So they think they're actually purchasing stuff back, but inevitably they find themselves deleting emotions and getting rid of them completely. When they find out about the real world, it's like, all right, you're ready. Welcome to the real world where we don't feel anything. And then the theme, the big why here, what we're trying to explore is why it's important to have the range of the full emotions. So I think we'll just make this our last question. Now that we've kind of defined the really dark stuff going on here, this conditioning simulation for humanity from some aliens and this cool story of them breaking out, what are some elements of the technology that we want to put into this virtual reality, whether it's bandwidth, things lag, or whatever?
Well, in this dystopian world, I feel like maybe, like, you don't necessarily want technology to get in the way of their experience. When you had mentioned recycle bin earlier, like, maybe that's where they put all of their emotions, like, in the recycling bin, or not emotions, but their previous life history. And getting access to that, like, maybe one of them stumbles in upon an in-game console. So, like, the console still exists. It was programmed ancient time ago to facilitate development in this game, but someone accidentally stumbles upon it by doing some sort of action. Maybe it's a jig, like they do a specific jig, and they, because they're really excited, they happen to get the excited emotion buff, and like op pumps a development console.
Wait. I think now this is the whole build of how people interact with our computer system are through dances. And so the whole world is like Footloose. Everything, you can't dance.
It's a musical.
It's a musical. It's totally banned. Like, it is taboo to dance in this world because of the access it gives you. So that could be the premise to the whole plot, is some guy dances and he starts doing all crazy stuff with the system. Opening consoles, spawning hamburgers. He finds that the hamburger spawning command, it's like a little jig where he like does a little shake like Macarena's, and then he slaps his hands, and then like a hamburger appears.
So what you're saying is Apple gesture control is taken way too far.
Exactly.
The Minority Report.
I love it.
Yeah. So I think I'd like to see in this story like command prompts and other virtual displays that give them more innate access to the virtual reality, and then they can start to influence it. And that's where they get into like, oh, you have a password. And so like maybe they spend the rest of the story like, I need the admin password so that I can get into the system and like reset it back to what it's supposed to be.
But because the admin password is actually a gesture prompt.
Probably.
They're trying to find the sacred dance, the ancient text, how to open.
And it happens to be password with an at sign.
Oh, that's great. It's password.
It's actually a 5-minute waltz.
Okay. Yeah, it could be that too.
You know, and then when you look at it from an aerial view, it's just the word password danced out.
Oh, snap. He couldn't remember it, so he had to have a mental map.
It turns out these aliens, because they have no emotions, they're really unoriginal, and they suck at security. It would be cool, though, if going back to like the whole wiping thing, if a human fails at the end of their life to learn the lesson they're trying to condition here, which is emotions aren't worth it, therefore teaching us as an audience why emotions are all the reins of emotions are so important, regardless of its happiness or sadness. It would be interesting if in finding or getting access to the recycle bin, he like walks in, and as he's standing there in this huge chamber, he finds previous versions of himself. Complete lifetimes, and they represent themselves as like objects and versions of him, like lifeless versions that were like deleted and scrapped, and then he was rebooted. So he goes around, and when he accesses his file, he sees like maybe like 100 versions of him. It's just
all
like
the attempts
at his reconditionings that failed, and it's like person after person after person. It's like, oh my gosh, these are all me, and he's like about to have a nervous breakdown. But it would be really cute if there's one thing that trails in every single one of his lives, which is video games. He always goes back to video games. And then he kind of feels pathetic at the same time. He's like, I just can't get away from him. I got to have my fix.
Which means that the one time that he will succeed is when he actually sheds his life of video games and does not play them.
See, I'm stuck in this reality forever, guys. Oh, no. I'm never getting out.
Oh.
Wow.
Well,
I kind of like it. Kind of a cool little twist. Any other thoughts we want to talk about before we end?
There's got to be a giant cursor that comes in. Like maybe he triggers something and a giant cursor starts dragging things out.
the great cursor. It has come. The great cursor.
He will decide who will go and who will stay. So what I really like about all of the story building and world building that we did was that we've picked an aspect of real life where humans have emotions, and this scenario where aliens are here to take over people, they realize that human emotions are what give us the ability to conquer all things. And so the aliens realize that they need to stamp that out in the human population. They discovered this technology that we humans created to help brainwash people to think a certain way or to have certain emotions, and they repurpose it to take over the human race willingly. Like the human race is like, oh yeah, human emotions, they're awful, right? And so they use it as a brainwashing camp to stamp out these human emotions so that humans don't rise up and take back over the whole scenario, the whole world again.
I like how it's designed in such a way to condition them to choose for themselves that they don't want these emotions anymore. Like they decide, you know what? If I have to deal with anger and sadness and depression, I don't want happiness and fun and excitement. Like they themselves choose like with how the system is built up.
And I think that as Jace, when he discovers that, like we've talked about a little bit ago, where he's going into this realm of the recycle bin and he realized there's hundreds of versions of himself as he's been reconditioned several times because he can't shake off the important emotions like love and empathy. That's what they're trying to stamp out in this world, that he realizes this is important. And that's why he's jumping in on trying to get what's her name?
Yenna.
He's trying to get Yenna to feel love, because that's the key to everything in terms of overcoming the aliens, is that humans banding together and taking charge actually comes back to we need to love one another, and that's builds strength and emotion so that we can actually tackle.
But Yenna
our
turned off her love a long time ago.
Right.
Or it depending on how the conditioning works, maybe if it's like an actual, and I know this goes right from the prompt, so maybe we skip this altogether, but it's extremely hard to obtain this emotion.
Yeah.
Whether it's really expensive.
They make it expensive or something.
Yeah.
Because something they like realize that. The aliens realize that's the one emotion that gives human their power.
Right. That's cool. It's cheesy, but I love
cheesy.
I'm all for
it's,
the cheese.
Robbie, it's your romance story.
We've done it. We got the romance twist at last. Well, I'm really happy with how this turned out. Mm-hmm. I do have a little game for you guys to wrap this up. Well, how this works is Michael will choose something, Steven will choose something, and then we put the two together in a virtual reality sense, something analogous. So, Michael, I need you to choose a module, feature, aspect of a computer or technology, like a delete button or recycle bin or whatever. Anything you want. It could be a keyboard key. I don't care.
RAM space.
RAM space. Okay, Steven, yeah. You have to choose a feature or aspect of life, like the need to... The motivation to survive, emotions like we've talked about, intelligence, imagination, something mm-hmm. about a person or reality.
Having to print things but always running out of ink.
So like needs. Like try. Okay.
I need to print something, but I can't.
But I can't.
Okay. Let me try again. Having to work to make a living, having to take a shower in the morning so you don't smell bad.
Oh, huh. Okay.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. And yeah. Mike, what was yours again?
RAM, like available RAM.
Okay. How do we tie these two together, guys? Well,
I'm going to scrap that with personal hygiene.
Personal hygiene and RAM. I guess it could be hard.
I'm wondering, like maybe because of available RAM space, like to you can only simulate certain aspects of personal hygiene, like so maybe smelling bad is one of the things that makes the cut because that's easy to put in RAM.
Oh, but like interesting.
But you know, I don't know. Like cleanliness comes in stages. Like you know, you only have 4 bits or 2 bits for cleanliness. Like not just like you're clean and dirty, but maybe like clean. Like little clean, mostly clean. Or sorry.
Oh,
clean,
oh,
little dirty, mostly dirty, all dirty. And so like as you're doing activities, you kind of like trip over into those other states and it's like a jarring experience.
If we're going off of like the computer aspect side of things, what if it's actually more about resolution? The more RAM you have, the more detail you can store in your character avatar.
I like that.
There's a really great meme from Final Fantasy VIII. Where it's the ballroom scene, and one character, Renoa, is like, Squall, you're the handsomest guy here. And it shows you a picture of Squall, and he's all like pixelated, and his face is all obscure. And anyways, when they did the HD update to the game, they actually cleaned that all up so the meme doesn't work anymore. it's just like you can look clearer / you can appear more attractive primarily because you have more resolution, more detail.
Because you spent the time cleaning up your RAM so you would have enough RAM to render out yourself. That's actually, I just got to say really quick, this whole world would give me a headache and eye strain as I'm looking at all these people and focus on all these other people that have like the worst resolution in the world. My brain would just blow up.
Well, I wonder, like, you can only have certain features. It's like RAM is your storage space for all your active features. And so, like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to deactivate my sarcasm routines because I want to look better for this ball that we're going to. So, like, you have competing aspects. You might have purchased all the DLC, but you can only have 5 things active because that's how much RAM you have in your system.
I like that a lot. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, and there's so many things you could do with it. Like, I was thinking, like, at the beginning, like, you have to get more sleep to clear up your RAM. So if you only get 3 hours of sleep...
It's like a defrag.
It's defragging.
Yeah, it's like a defrag. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Oh.
Interesting.
Well, that actually makes me think of, like, well, then you only get certain render distance. So, like, you know, if you only have 5 megs of RAM, or, you know, 5 gigs of RAM versus 16 gigs of RAM, like, everyone within 5 feet of you looks perfect. But 10 feet away, everyone's blurry.
Oh, that's 20
feet away. Like in real life, you could actually see them just fine, but because you don't have enough RAM, you can't store all their textures and everything. And so it really drops off quickly.
And maybe it's like a 20/20 thing for eyesight. Like you can get better eyes to see better farther, you know? It's like, I only got so much RAM in my eyes. I can only see so far.
Well, but it's like a telescope binocular effect where like only what you're looking at is super clear. And then everything else like around this like optical center is not rendered well.
I think we just described eyesight, but it's just...
With hygiene?
With hygiene.
Yeah.
It's like, it's crazy.
Oh, wait, that's real life.
I was like, that's real life. That wasn't too much of a stretch.
My bad. Sorry, that's my life every day.
Anyway, as we all say, as people who wear glasses. Guys, I hope you pulled something out of this episode. You know,
I did.
Pull in, have fun mixing reality and technology, diving in there and play with aspects of life and ask questions about, you know, like what happens when you have to purchase your emotions and why? Why is that the condition in the setting? And then let that drive the character and their development and the world. So it's a fun thing you can do with your environment. It's a fun way to tell a story.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, thanks for joining us. Stephen and Michael, thank you for being on with me.
Excellent.
Thank you.
We are the Creators Playbook. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's Creators PB Pod. And then also anywhere else, Facebook or whatever, you just look for Creators Playbook and we'll pop up there for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Bing.
Guys, we can't wait to see what you make. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Creators Playbook is a Talea Studios production. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at contact@creatorsplaybook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to see what you make.
That was our best song we've ever done.
I was very proud of that song.
That was very good. That's
Ship It.
Blooper rear. Ship it. I ship this song.
Yep. Ship it.
With
ship
our podcast.
Send it with a stamp.